Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Especially in the first two or three verses, Peter gives us something that I personally find to be very convicting as when it comes to the Word of God. It's a challenge about our relationship with the Word of God. And he does so in the most simplest, noblest, and yet foundational, basic way of all. He's liking our relationship and our desire for that relationship of the Word of God like to that of a newborn baby. The subject is learning to be a baby for the Word of God and the process that it takes. We're going to get into it in just a minute. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us tonight. And we know, as always, preaching to the choir, those that are here to learn more about your Word. And that's wonderful. That's good. But Father, I find in my own life, I could do more. In my own life, I could be better. In my own life, there are things in my life where the Word of God needs to take a higher precedence than ever before. And I pray that you'll challenge us all, speak to us all from your wonderful book, that we'll understand the delicacy and intricacy of what it is to have a longing and a relationship and a desire in a greater way for this wonderful book. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. We find, first of all, as Peter begins this chapter, the process of what it takes to have a longing desire and the process that it takes to have a working, living relationship about this wonderful book. It starts first, he says, in verse number 1. Wherefore? Now, by that time, you're all familiar with, you find something that is therefore or wherefore. We scan back a little bit to kind of get an idea. Previously, in chapter 1, beginning with verse number 22, he talks about the Word of God and their relationship. He says this, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So all of the above, the word of God preached unto you, being born not of incorruptibles, not born of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Therefore and wherefore, laying aside all malice, if you and I desire a working relationship to this wonderful book, where it will do its full work in our lives, we've got to begin in the first point. We've got to begin in verse number 1. Wherefore, we find, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. He is indeed speaking to Christians. He is indeed speaking to those who have knowledge of the Word of God, been saved and born again. He speaks of it earlier here about the purifying of their souls and the obedience to the truth that was through the Spirit. He talks about how the Word of the Lord endureth forever and ever. So we are to have any kind of relationship at all. It's got to be the elimination of all sin and everything that besets us and hinders us from this wonderful book and the relationship that we can have from it. We have to put off, he says in verse number 2. The word put off means to lay aside, like the shedding off of old clothes, that which was old and filthy, that which was in the past. That talks about our salvation. back in the scriptures and the Old Testament days, I understand that those that did get baptized had some practice, according to some scholars, of taking off the old clothes and putting on a brand new set of clothes after their baptism. That would be the same as taking someone here and having them take away the old clothes, and we have a brand new suit of clothes for them. That sounds great. We can't do that, but that would be the essence of what it would be all about. Indeed, we find the symbol of the change of salvation that had taken place in their life. It was an outward showing of what Christ had done for them. It was an outward showing of their salvation. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So as a Christian, you show, you demonstrate by the laying aside, getting rid of all those barriers to the Word of God, the things that will hinder you and your growth to the truth of the Word of God. All malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. He is not just doing anything and playing around here. He mentions the word all three times. So it's got to be thorough. It's got to be complete. It's got to be sincere. It's got to be something that we have a desire to want to do if you and I want the full effect of the Word of God put here before us. Now, I realize that many of us have this book here tonight, and we have this book, and we know a lot of things about it. There are things we need to know more about. And hopefully you have a desire to learn more about it. But it is this book, as you know, that can change our very lives. And so in that respect, go and eliminate the hidden sins he talks about here. The deception, the secret sins of hypocrisy and its phoniness, the slander, the gossip. Get rid of it all. So if you want the full effect of the Word of God in our lives, we must do some house cleaning. Get rid of the sins that so easily beset us, hurt us, and hinder us. As mentioned back years ago, that sin will keep us from this book, or this book will keep us from sin. It's got to be this way. Secondly, after you have eliminated all of the above in verse number one, then we have to admit our need for the Word of God. Verse number two. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Once the hidden and secret sins are eliminated, then we must take the Word of God and give it the rightful place it is due in our lives. But how? How do we do that? How do we make that relationship? How do we get started? How do we make that connection in our lives? Well, he says so right here in verse number two, as newborn babes. As newborn babes. In other words, in the same form, in the same fashion, as newborn babes desire from their mother the milk, we too need to desire the Word of God into our lives. In the same form, in the same fashion. Now, the baby, infant, a newborn, comes out of the womb fresh and innocent into the world. And the first thing that newborn is going to want, the first thing that baby is going to ask for, the first thing that baby is going to want is to nurse from its own mother that milk. That is its only desire it has alive. It has no other desire, can think of nothing else it needs, but the first thing it looks for and the first thing it's got to have has got to have that milk. Indeed, that's what we have to have from the Word of God. That baby doesn't care what family it comes from. That baby doesn't care what mom and dad looks like. That baby doesn't care about whether or not it has any brothers and sisters at this point. That baby doesn't care what town, what city, what state, what country it lives in. It has only one God-given desire, and that is to have that milk that's needed for the nourishment and the strengthening of its life. Milk is the only thing that that baby has to have to survive. Physically, it has the antibodies inside to protect that child, to sustain that child. And that child will not give up until it has that milk. Now, we've all been there. We've all seen in the hospital when that baby has been born, your own child, a precious sight. And there in the beginning, the precious sound. And we even laugh at the crying of that baby that it makes and how cute, how wonderful that is. That sweet, that tender, that wonderful, that beautiful baby cries. Wonderful in the hospital until you bring the baby home. Then in the beginning, that 2 o'clock feeding, you can kind of live with it, right? I mean, the cry, it's so cute. It's wonderful. It's adorable. But a week later, when the routine gets somewhat monotonous, and then you kind of fight for each other in the bed, it's your turn to go get that baby. It's your turn to feed that baby. After a while, the cry isn't so cute anymore, right? I mean, that baby has got to holler. That baby's got to scream. That baby's got to carry on and carry on and carry on till someone gets out of bed and feeds that baby. That's the God-given nature of that baby. Thank the Lord, it will not let you forget to feed that baby. This passage is for every believer, not just for newborn Christians. Sometimes I'm afraid we don't quite emphasize what should be emphasized here. We don't talk about what should be talked about here. We just pigeonhole it for only the brand new Christian. But I find here in this passage of Scripture, as newborn babes, as an example, as an illustration, as only it can be done because we're all familiar with newborn babies, as a newborn babe that desires the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, do the same in your own life. Have that same desire. We need that same desire. We need that same craving. We need, in a manner of speaking, that same internal inside, something that will not stop, that will not let us go, that will not do anything else until we have the Word of God for our lives. It is so critical we have that milk. Yet so amazing how many Christians manage to get along in their Christian life without the Word of God. They substitute the sincere milk of the Word with something like junk food, something that is filling but not nourishing. It could be TV, it could be sports, it could be entertainment. It might even be a TV preacher. It might be education. It is other food that they try to fill themselves up with that will not satisfy, but it is there for the taking. It's quick, it's easy. I've often marveled how the food that you're supposed to get and buy in the grocery stores to really, really, really make you healthy is so expensive. And yet the food that's not healthy is so cheap. I think that's why we go to the junk food first, perhaps. But nevertheless, as babies desperately need milk to survive and to grow, we too need the Word of God to survive and to grow. Now, we need to remember our life source from this passage of Scripture. All babies have a life source which gives them life and sustains that life once they are born. The word sincere in verse number 2 means pure, delighting, reasonable, a milk that the baby craves and cries for. It is the pure power of the Word of God that can make the difference in the life. And my Christian friend, because we know the difference it can make, because we know the life-changing power it can make, it's got to be that power that we desire, that we cry out for, to have in our lives as well. It's that pure power. It's the source of our transformation, the change that's taken place in our life. It is that new life in Jesus Christ. Think about it. Wasn't your salvation the most amazing life-changing thing that you've ever had happen to you ever at all? Indeed it was. Absolutely. And it was all from the Word of God. The milk, the source of our new life in Christ, has been God's Word. Listen, 1 Peter 1, previously, verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, the word of life, that I may receive in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. James 1:18. But of his own begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of God is that incorruptible milk. The word of God is that incorruptible seed. The word of God is the milk that is to us a consuming craving for us, that we live in the midst of this corrupted and twisted world. In this impure world that we live in, we have the pure word of God. It's uncontaminated word of truth, and that we should desire and we should crave as newborn babes in Christ. That desire and that craving should make us arise. Something inside should make us arise and yell and scream, I've got to have the word of God, and I will not stop. I will not stop in any way until I have my needs satisfied. Just as a newborn babe. That baby's not going to stop. Sometimes we stop, but that baby's not going to stop. Indeed, the craving and desire should compel us as a newborn babe. And we, my friends, should cry out for it. We should cry out for it. We should scream for it. We should be in agony because we don't have it. We should not be content unless we get the pure, sincere Word of God. Something within us, our spiritual soul, our spiritual spirit, will not be happy. It will not be satisfied. It will not stop. It will not let go. It will not be content until we are nourished with the spiritual word of God and the milk God has for us. We can't get nourished any other way. As a Christian, there's no other way you're going to grow. You're going to mature. You're going to get what you and I need unless it is the word of God. Just as God made babies to be nourished by the mother's milk, God has made us to be nourished only by this book and this book alone. Our Sunday school should be full of Christians wanting the Word of God. But sometimes they're not. If you look in the bulletin, you'll find the church attendance, and then you'll find the Sunday school attendance. There's 100+ lacking, 100+ deficiency in that number. When you go knocking on doors at the Sunday school teacher and you try to invite people to come to Sunday school, well, if I can make it, I'll get there. Well, if I have the time, well, you know, sometimes we just get around kind of late and so forth and so on. That tells me they have no sincere desire for that milk of the word. Their heart, their soul is not screaming out, I'll be there. I've got to have the word of God. It's a craving inside. I need that nourishment. I need that strength. I need it. It's not there. It's not there. Our Sunday school should be full. We have a Bible Institute, praise God, where Christians can come and want the word of God. We should be Christians who desire more and more. And more of the Word of God. In other words, like a baby, you just can't get enough. You just can't get enough. As babies desire the milk from their mothers, we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? The latter part of verse 2, that we may grow thereby. There's something about growth. There's something about maturing. In my ministry, I've had Christians who were still spiritually immature. They've been in the church some 20, 30, 40, whatever number of years they've been there a long time. They've heard the Word of God over and over and over and over and over again. And yet at times, there would be those Christians who acted like babies. They acted like spiritual immature children. They acted this way, I could tell, by their behavior, by the things that they complained about. Really, Pastor, we have to have that color of carpet, really? I mean, come on now. And they would go into other things that seemed to be big issues, big items, big situations in their life. And repeatedly, as a pastor, I would have to go and kind of go to their house, put a spiritual pacifier in their mouth, perk them, pat them on the back, let them get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Belch. And they belch. They seem to be happy for a while until the next thing comes around. Colic. Over and over and over again. It's like they're not mature. They should have grown. They should have grown in the things and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yet they have not. We're not talking about Christians remaining to be babies. We're talking about Christians growing, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. Nobody wants to have an adult body with a childish brain inside where you can't discern the spiritual truths of the Word of God. And yet, it happens repeatedly, over and over again. It's like, even though they've been in church, even though they've heard the Word of God, they certainly somehow did not grasp the truths of the Word. They did not take the Word in and digest it and nourished on it and then grow thereby. Now, I got to admit, at my age, I'm like Peter Pan. I never wanted to grow up. I'm still a kid. That's why I do childish things sometimes, okay? My wife will tell you. And I rebel at this idea of getting old. Don't tell me I'm getting old. No. It's not that way at all. Something about me just does not want to give up my age or grow old in any way. There are Christians who are like that spiritually. They just don't want to grow. They don't want to mature. Paul made mention of this to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He, Paul, began to realize, I'm not a perfect individual. I've never heard any person, any Christian at all in their life, admit that, hey, I don't need anything in my Christian life. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I've arrived. I've gotten it all. I'm satisfied with my spiritual progress. You're either a perfect Christian or you're a liar. Because we all should never be satisfied with the current growth. We need to grow more and more and mature more and more and gain more and more and understand more and more. Be hungry, be thirsty for the knowledge that comes from the Word. Paul says, well, I was the chiefest of sinners. He didn't say, I was, I am. He currently understood the struggles he had in the Christian life. From Romans chapter 7, he understood that, talking about the struggles that he had every day. The things he wanted to do, he did not do. The things he did not do, he ended up doing. We all have those struggles. We all have those issues. We all have those problems. We need to grow and mature and trying to see what can be done to overcome these situations. Indeed, we have these issues. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Paul didn't achieve at all. I have not apprehended at all. I don't have a handle on everything in my life. If he did, he wouldn't have had to be sought the Lord 3 times and remove the thorn out of his flesh. He would have known. Indeed, we all need to grow. We all need to know that we're not near where we ought to be. We all need to pursue the growth. No one else is going to do it for you. No one else is going to grow for you in your Christian life. It's up to you and I individually. We've got a pastor, we've got a church, we've got an institute, we've got Sunday school classes. We'll do everything we can here to help you grow and mature in your Christian life. But nobody's got to twist your arm and force you to do it. You've got to pursue growth on your own. Something that you're going to have to want. That desire. As a baby desire the internal milk of the Word, you and I desire as well. We need to grow in the Word as a baby is fed by milk. We need that milk of the Word of God. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. They have grown from young men who are strong into spiritual fathers. That's what we need. Spiritual adults. Individuals who have grown in the Word of God. And they need more and they need more. The older we get in the Lord, the more we know we need the Lord. We don't have to come to church. We need to come to church because we need to grow and grow and grow spiritually. Indeed, it's not just enough to read the Bible through. Don't do so without meaning and without understanding. But read to grow. Read to be nourished. Read to get fed from the Word of God. That's the key goal. Not against reading the Bible through. But if you don't get fed by it, you've had no results. Feed yourself from the Word of God. Get nourishment from the Word of God. Grow in the Word of God. This desire from growth from babyhood to adulthood rises out of a disconnect, a discontent. It rises out of a cry from within us, a cry that's internally, a cry that's within our soul. I need more. I need more. I need the Word. I need the Word. I come. I need the Word. I come. I need the Word. That desire from growth comes. We don't like Paul. We're not where we ought to be. But the milk of the Word is there. God puts that disconnect inside. God puts that yearning inside. God puts that craving inside, just like He does for a mother, and just like He does for a baby who desires the milk from the mother. God puts that within the baby, and spiritually, God puts that within us. I want more. I want the Word. I want to grow. I want to mature. As a baby cries and craves for milk, we too should cry out for the Word of God until we get fed. So pursue your growth. Chase after it. Chase after it like you chase down that five-layer burrito from Taco Bell, right? Chase after that growth. Chase after that strength and nourishment you would get from the Word of God. Mature, be strong. Have a desire to grow. I have fought growing up, as I mentioned. Indeed, we need to grow. There are some areas of our life we do need to grow. We find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I need to learn to grow in grace. I need to understand, like Paul, that God's grace is sufficient for me. You can pray and ask, deliver me from the hurt. Deliver me from the pain. Deliver me from the sorrow. Deliver me from the suffering. But if it cannot be done, then God's grace is sufficient. That's a bitter pill to learn and swallow. But I need to grow in that. And grow in that, and learn of that. Grow in that grace. Grow in His sufficiency. Grow in what He's capable of doing. Grow by depending upon Him. Grow because you don't have it within yourself. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God's grace made him strong, not himself. Grow in grace. Also, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Every kind of plant has to grow and produce fruit. And grow in your Christian life that the fruit of the Spirit may be produced within you and through you. Remember, He is the vine, we are the branches. And because we are the branches, we are told in John 15 to let the fruit grow on you. We are never told to produce fruit. I can't produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. Only the divine vine in and through us can produce fruit. We're just fruit hangers. That's all we are, fruit hangers. Let the Spirit of God, let Jesus Christ grow in through us and let that fruit be produced in and through us. We're just the vessels by which He lives and learns to work. Indeed, be yielded to that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It can only happen. It can only happen. When we have that desire to cry, that internal desire to scream out, that internal desire to holler, I need the Word. I need the milk of the Word. I have to have it or I'm not going to be fed and nourished. If there's nothing within you crying out and asking and just admonishing and asking God to help you with that, then you've been filled up with junk food. My friends, get rid of it, verse number one, from the very get-go, and cry out. Are you crying out from within today? Do you want to grow and mature in Christ? Are you crying out internally and screaming now? Holler. Holler to God for the Word. Find a time in your own privacy and get alone with the Word of God. Ask God to fill you, empower you. Ask God to nurture you. Ask God to feed you. My friends, He will. As a mother will take care of the holler and the scream and the crying of a baby to feed her own, our Heavenly Father will take care of our crying, our screaming, our hollering for the being fed from the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would please. Is that internal clock within you crying out for the Word? Is that gnawing and that gut-wrenching need and that desire there within for nourishment to be fed from the Word of God? Hopefully it is. And hopefully it will take place in your life. As a baby desires that milk, as a baby desires that milk, we too need to desire the truth and be fed spiritually from God's Word. Father in heaven, I pray that you will help us tonight to be honest with ourselves, that maybe it's not as much as it should be. Maybe we don't have that desire. Maybe there's a hindrance. Maybe there's a blockage. Maybe there's stopping process of our growth and our maturity, whatever it may be. Tonight is a night, and tonight's the opportunity where we can come and practice verse number one and get rid, lay aside all the sin, all the areas, all the hindrances, all the things that hinder us from growing and maturing in the Word of God. I pray that, Father, you'll speak to us now. Let your Word prevail in our lives. Help us to have that inner hunger, that inner desire, that inner thirst, that inner yearning, that inner screaming, hollering, that we want the Word. I pray that, Father, you'll speak to us now during this invitation time. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Take your seat.